You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People say religion has nothing to do with real life. Faith in God is real life.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. National Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, you have conquered sin, death, and the fear of death in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. Give us trusting faith to go with a holy fear to follow you, not worrying about ourselves, but putting ourselves in your care and praying with all confidence in your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. People say, religion has nothing to do with real life. Maybe not. But faith does. Faith in God is real life. People say, faith in God is not of much use until you are in trouble. Maybe so, if you're talking about that religious feeling that comes over people and makes them say pious things when someone is taken to the hospital or someone, as they say, passes away. Faith in God, however, is not just a religious feeling or pious words. It is knowing God, having confidence in God, trusting God, expecting God to do His thing, come good days or bad. God is good for the good days, and He is good for the bad days. God is strong on the successful days and strong on the unsuccessful days. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, said the psalmist. This is the psalm upon which Martin Luther drew for his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a shield and weapon to defend us. It must have been a day of dark, foreboding, and bitter struggle when the psalmist wrote, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It was a day of dark, foreboding, and bitter struggle when Martin Luther used to say to his treasured friend Philip Melanchthon, Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm. Out of one of those occasions, it is said, grew that great hymn, Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott, ein gute Wehr und Waffen. A mighty fortress is our God, a shield and weapon to defend us. The theme of both the psalm and the hymn is, we will not fear. We may fret, stew, and worry ourselves into gray hair, ulcers, high blood pressure, heart attacks, and possibly a lot of other things. We may prepare for ourselves premature coffins and graves, forgetting the one who can make everything different for everyone in this wide world of ours. But there's always God. No matter what may come, there's always God. It's always possible to have faith in Him, no matter how dark the day or how bleak the future. simply because he's God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What kind of talk is that, anyway, when we are surrounded by all kinds of possibilities that strike fear into the hearts of people, and even terrify them to death? With all the other fears, there's always the fear of death. It haunts people from the cradle to the grave. Children are afraid of death, and so are their parents. In fact, one of the great fears of children is that their parents will die, or that they will go away and not return, or they will break up with one another and wreck a beautiful little family, or something will happen that will bring about change, which almost always produces fears in children, just as it does in older people. All the fears are really mirrors of the one fear, the fear of death. That explains why people don't like to talk about death. Or if they talk about it, they try to make it seem pleasant when they know otherwise. The Bible does not blink at talk of death. It faces death with a clear eye, and it calls death an enemy. Talk about change. Death changes everything. It changes things for people who die, and it changes things for people who are left behind. Fear is a fact of life. It is not all bad. It keeps a child who has burned his finger on the stove from doing it again. Fear keeps us from all sorts of rash and reckless actions. Fear drives people to see the doctor, or it keeps people from going to see the doctor for fear of what he will tell them. They pretend that the pain isn't there, or they act as if it will soon disappear. Fear can be a gift from God. It can wake you up. It can jog you loose from your complacency. It can turn you from fiction to fact. It can bring you back to reality. But fear will never make you strong. It takes something else to make you strong. Faith makes people strong. Not any old kind of faith, but faith in God that he is for real. It's not just a vague feeling about God, but actual faith, confidence in God, trust in God, even closeness to God, which is more than mere piety, because it is a deeply felt conviction on which you bank your life. That's faith when it is faith in God. Contrary to what some people say and think, faith does not eliminate fear. Faith in God takes fear and channels it in the right direction. Fear destroys and faith saves. Faith saves people by overcoming the frenzy of fear, which is unhealthy and destructive, turning the face of fear in the right direction, which is toward God. Faith turns people away from themselves toward God. It may sound unrealistic and foolish to some people, but actually it's the only real and intelligent way to live. I wish I could tell you how often I've prayed with people who were scared to death as someone close to them was being carried into a hospital unconscious and placed into the intensive care unit, hovering between life and death. The whole family stood around in the hallway, young and old, not knowing which way to turn. All kinds of fears were all over the place. Then we prayed to God, quietly and confidently, all together. You have to experience something like this to feel the peace that settles on that scene. Fears may still be there, but they are no longer in control. Something else has taken their place. Faith takes over, and people put their fears into the hands of God. That's not just a religious feeling or pious talk. When fear is so thick that you can cut it with a knife, faith cuts through, and then there's light again, no matter what may happen. There is God. Where God is, no fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Faith in God harnesses fear and points it in the right direction. The direction is toward God. Fear of God becomes a healthy thing when you have faith in God. With faith in God and a godly fear that goes very well with faith, people begin to see things again with a clear eye and to take things with a clear mind. It's a good thing to fear the devil. but you've got to know where he's at. With faith in God, you know where he's at. The great thing about God is that he shows us where he's at, where the devil is at, and where we are at in relation to God and to all the forces which arise to deceive and to trouble us. The great God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He really came. The story is there for all to hear, all to read, all to see. There are mysteries about God that none of us understands, and mysteries about Christ that nobody can explain. But there's no mystery about who Christ is and what Christ did. There's no mystery about who Christ is and what he's always doing. He died for the sins of the whole world. He did that for all of us. That's God doing his thing in his Son, Jesus Christ. For the sake of his Son, the great God forgives the sins of our humanity, whatever they are. He forgives them all. He does this for the sake of his Son, who died for us. It's a sure sign that God forgives. The great God raised his Son from the dead and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. It takes faith to bow the knee to Jesus. It takes faith to ask God for forgiveness. And it takes faith to accept his forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ. It takes faith in Christ, which is not content just to say nice things about God and about Christ, but actually bows the knee before him. It takes faith to see yourself both as a saint and a sinner in the sight of God, saved by faith in God's great heart, and moved in the right direction by a holy fear of God, which is true recognition of your own humanity, along with love for God, which has plenty of room for wholesome awe of his sovereign power and his overwhelming grace, all of which you see in his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in God that he is truly a father, intent as a father on saving you rather than destroying you, produces a new kind of personality, with love for God combined with fear of God, and fear of God combined with love of God. With that kind of personality, you can draw close to God as he has drawn close to you. You're perfectly content to go along with God with faith and fear and love, producing a new maturity with a really healthy outlook on life. That's what Martin Luther was talking about when he explained the Ten Commandments. We should fear and love and trust in God above all things. We should fear and love God that we may tame our cursing and swearing and crabbing and sharp and filthy tongues. We should fear and love God that we may offer him acceptable worship and praise. We should fear and love God that we may honor, respect, love, and obey every proper authority, including parents. We should fear and love God that we may stop murdering people, not simply with guns and knives, but with unloving and hateful words and deeds. We should fear and love God that all of our thoughts, words, and actions may be sexually pure and clean. We should fear and love God that we may not engage in the grand larceny of slander, whereby we rob people of their good names. We should fear and love God that we may not crave and covet what we can never own or possess. We can live that way, in fear of God and in love for God. We can do that by faith, which is born at the foot of the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we will not fear, said the psalmist. We know God, and we will not be given to the fear that destroys. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The enemies of God lie dead outside the door. Why be afraid? The enemies of God are your enemies too. They lie dead outside the door. The Son of God has nailed all that stuff that rises to haunt us to the middle of his cross, and he has taken all the powers and authorities and dragged them along in his possession like a conqueror coming home in triumph. The Son of God is the Lord. Why be afraid? You don't have to be perfect. Jacob was not perfect. His name means stinker, cheat, liar, deceiver. You don't have to be perfect, but you can be forgiven and you can be led in the right direction, as was Jacob. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our God is the Savior. The God of Jacob is both Savior and Lord. He is with us in the tears and the torments of bondage to the smiles and the laughter of freedom. It is freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from death, freedom from everything that arises to trouble you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I was exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There goes worry. There goes all that effort to save yourself. There goes all that bragging, which is a sign of weakness rather than a sign of strength. And there goes death, and with it goes fear. All of it goes in the name of the Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Jesus Christ said, "Behold the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are worth more than the birds." Said the robin to the sparrow, "I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Go to the birds, you worry warts, and learn from them the lesson of the carefree life. It was not for the birds that Jesus died and rose again. It was for you. What more do you need? What more does any of us need? It is true. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear." Amen.
Listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.